This podcast is given to you by Arloka David Smith, teacher and founder of the Dharma Mind Buddhist Group. For more information, please go to dharmamind.net.
Well, it's just been mentioned, Trigonosis in 3 weeks' time, where almost the whole group go for a 7-day retreat. And I'd just like to touch on it for a few minutes, which I've done in the past. But actually, this doesn't just concern that retreat. There's a bigger picture, and I hope you pick the bigger picture up and not just put blinkers on and see it as this pertaining to Trigonos and nothing else in your life. But it's particularly useful just to talk about it in this context, because you know, it's a great place, we all love it, fantastic environment. If the weather's like this, it will be something else. But of course there's the other side of that, you know, the environment and the food and the accommodation and the whole experience is very something we all look forward to. But of course, I say the other side of that is that we've all got to be with ourselves sitting on a cushion for 7 days, which might knock the edge off the off the expectations that you're actually going to hang on a minute. This is not like, you know, you're going off to Lanzarote or somewhere for a week. You've got some aspect to that, but I say the other side is that you're actually going to be with yourself. So you've got 3 weeks to be cogitating or not. The event coming up and the challenge that sitting with yourself for 7 days often brings. Of course, you've got to think about it in the sense of what clothes you're going to take and how you're going to get there and all your travel arrangements, etc. Of course, you've got to do all that, get all that in place. So when you get there, you're all nice and prepared and you don't go into panics, you've forgotten things and not brought the right things and all the rest of it. So you're all nice and chilled out with all that sort of stuff. And actually, that's all you need to think about. Just pack your bags, really, what you're going to put in your bags. I don't know what else you need to think about, but I suspect that some of you, maybe quite a number of you, will be thinking about, you know, the challenge of sitting all day. You know, we start early and we finish late. And doing that for 7 days, and of course you're going to be probably thinking of your past experience with this. Most of you have been before, so you've got some history, and you may well think about how it was last year or the year before or whatever. This is our 9th year, actually. You might be thinking of the experiences that you had. And almost certainly in the middle of those experiences and amongst those experiences, it's some of the time it's going to be difficult. I mean, it's inevitable that you've had to really sort of stick with it and go with, whether it be physical, which is often a big thing when you're sitting for 7 days. There's the physical aspect, but of course the emotional, mental part also has its focus in that time, and you know, you may have struggled to get through things and wondered if you're going to get through things, and then of course you're now going to think, is it going to happen to you again? And so it's very easy to fall into something. I mean, if you've had nice times there, and I hope most of you have, and in fact I know most of you have. Because this isn't all doom and gloom. Such events can be very liberating, to be you can have experiences that you will never forget the rest of your life. Experiences that can change your life. Something drops off that you may be aware of or you're not aware of. Almost certainly things do drop off, without doubt, whether you're aware of it or not. The fact that you can actually go and be still for 7 days is not a small thing, because there are very few people in the world that be able to do that. I would suggest most people probably couldn't sit still for more than 10 minutes without finding that really difficult. It's not a small thing to sit still. And that has consequences. That has effects within you. You know, you may be aware of these things or not. But what you're doing is you're challenging stuff that's been in play for all of your life, this restlessness thing where you're always on the move, mentally, physically, emotionally. We don't know stillness. We very, very seldom touch it, although we all desire it and we all want it. There's not many of us actually experience that to any worthwhile degree. And to go there and to experience that at some point is not a small thing. And that requires change. It's training, it's discipline, it's commitment. But like I say, you're challenging stuff within you that's been used to being in charge of you all of your life, that just pulls you around this way and that way. And you're learning to just make it all be still. And that's going to have an effect on you, whether you're aware of it or not. And in time, it sort of accumulates. And I know that I can see the change in everyone in this group. You may not be so much aware of it within yourself, but it's there. And this is always something very positive, for you and for your life, your spiritual life and your worldly life. So it's never a waste of time. In fact, I think it's always positive, even if you have a real struggle all the way through and get through to the end. You may think, my God, what was all that about? Things are happening, and it's never ever a waste of time. It can never be a waste of time to train yourself to be still. It's the most profound thing you will ever do for yourself, even though it can be incredibly difficult. In fact, well, it will be difficult. We all, it's a challenge for all of us. Some find it more difficult than others, but to be still is going against the stream. And, you know, but when you pull it off, don't think it's a small thing. I don't think it's a small thing. I think it's a huge thing that you can build on. And so I think even though you can have difficult times on a 7 day retreat, and you know, I think you'd be pretty lucky to get away with 7 days where you're not challenged. You know, if you do that, I would never look upon that as as negative or a waste of time or what the hell am I doing here for? What's the point of all of this? It is something very, well, I think it's very profound actually, because you're building something there. You're learning to put something in place where you can make use of that and you can build upon it retreat after retreat, ones like this and then the bigger ones and the smaller ones. All the time you're reinforcing that ability to be still. And even though you don't sort of have great enlightened experiences and you may have a lot of physical challenges within it, don't ever consider it to be a waste of time. But the way we are is that, of course, it's very easy for you to dwell upon these difficult times that you've had, whatever they may be, and you can sit here now with 3 weeks to go, however many weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, a week. And you can turn these things over and then just create all sorts of scenarios that it's going to happen again and you're going to be like this and like that. And am I going to get through? And just feel sort of quite negative about the experience. Whereas in fact, it's all pure conjecture, because not one of you know what's going to happen in that week. You don't know. But you can build all sorts of scenarios around it, which are usually negative ones. You can you can go the other way if you like, because last year you had a very illuminating experience, and you're looking forward to having more. And so you're, how many am I going to have this time? What is it going to be like? Is it going to be, will I be able to replicate the one I had last year? Will it be better? How many will I have? You may go down that road, or you may go down the other road of, as I say, thinking of all sorts of negative things. All of it pure conjecture. And I guarantee you that none of it will be the way that you think it will be. You may have difficult times, but it won't be the scenario that you're making up now. Almost certainly it will be something else. It will be something new that you never had before. How long will it last for? Probably nothing like the way, as long as you've decided it's going to be now. So the more negative you are, the worse the picture you're going to paint for yourself. Because if it's just a little bit of negativity, you probably wouldn't even bother thinking about it. But no, when you think about something, oh, God, I remember that, oh, my God. That third day, that's just, God, it's just so long. And this happened and that happened, and, oh, God, it's going to be the same again. How am I going to get through? Or, like I say, you could have had very, very pleasant experience, a lot of maybe rapture or just a lot of peace. Or maybe insightful experiences. And the attachment to those are far, far greater than the attachment to negative experiences. And you want them back again. Like I say, you want to replicate the experience, which is literally impossible. It would never, ever happen. But you play it again and think, oh, that's great. This is what I want. And that won't happen. But you'll make it, and so you build yourself up with all these expectations, and by golly, you are really setting yourself up big time. You go down that road. Sometimes you can't help it, because you know you've had these things, and they're very, very powerful, and you'll remember them for the rest of your life, and you can't shake them off. It's one of the dangers of what we do, that we can become incredibly attached. We always like to think of the difficulties in it, but also it works the other way. And you have a very positive experience, and of course it's so wonderful that you can't let it go, and you carry it around with you all the time. And you want to replicate it, and you go on a retreat like this for 7 days, and you think, well, I can... If I just put everything together like I did, maybe was it the third day, the fourth day, and I sort of things sort of went this way, and it all sort of accumulated, and it all built up, and said, I must, this is what I must do again, and then when I do, I shall have the same experience again. That's dukkha. I'm telling you, that's dukkha. Because you ain't going to do it. I think I've told you this story before, I'm sure. A woman some years ago came to me, had some... I wouldn't question the authenticity of her insight, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know. It's not for me to make those judgments. But she had an experience which was immensely powerful. And this is the problem with this, is it can just take your life over. And when that does, your practice is finished. It's called attachment. You hold on to that. You've had it until you let go of it. That's the danger of insight. You have to learn to let it go and use it as inspiration, not something that you're just carrying all the time. But this woman was carrying this particular thing that clearly had a massive impact on her. And she told me that she said, "Oh, this is so wonderful that I'm determined to get back to that, and I'm going to experience it again." And she sat down and she worked it out, the day of the week, the clothes that she was wearing, the time of the day. And she was going to line it all up. So she replicated everything exactly as it was for her at this time, and she was going to have the same thing again. This is what it can do to you. And that's, you know, that won't happen. If you have a genuine experience of a taste of reality, reality isn't an object, it isn't a thing that you can go back to and experience of this object like you can do with any objects. It's a thing you can go back to and say, well, I've seen this before, I've touched this before, I can then go and do it again, which you can do. But reality isn't an object. It isn't anything at all. So you can't, it's not something that you can replicate. So forget it. You must forget it, because if you don't, you're going to create so many problems for yourself. It's called attachment. You create attachment, you suffer. That's the bottom line. Samsara is about attachment. You attach, you suffer. That's it. It's a very simple equation. And you've got this event in 3 weeks' time where you can create, you know, from one side of great experience to very, very difficult experiences. And most of us, if you do this long enough, you will go through them all. You will go from one side of the spectrum to the other. And just because you reach the positive side doesn't mean to say you're not going to go back to the negative side again. Somehow you think you've gone but beyond all of that. Oh, no, 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 no. You can have so much change that could have gone on, and you get into some false sense of oh, I've done that one. I'm not going to experience that sort of dukkha again. You do anything like that, you are truly setting yourself up, because you can. Things can happen, things can come up that you thought you dealt with, and then give you such a good whacking. And because you've had so much attachment, the disappointment that can come from that can devastate you, absolutely devastate you. You think that you've progressed and you've gone beyond that, and I'm never going to have that again, and I've defeated that one, and I've gone on, by golly, you are setting yourself up. This does not run in straight lines. I don't care who you are, this does not go in straight lines. But the mind, and this is the nature, this is what our mind does, our everyday mind that we carry all the time. It is continually creating and projecting and making, setting things up all the time, always, whether positive or negative, always looking into the future, and it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that, and you buy into it. And so you go to somewhere like this with these expectations. It's going to be like this. It's going to be like that. And it doesn't work out that way. And if you're looking for something to replicate something positive, then the disappointment can absolutely devastate you. You can think, my God, I thought I was making progress. You know, which is what you do. You can't help it. It's something that you have to learn to go beyond. In time, it takes a very long time, but we think we're making progress. And what you mean by progress is that you've left stuff behind. You've done that. You've done the difficult bit, the physically difficult bit, or the emotionally difficult bit. Oh, I've done that one because this is opened up, and I've had this lovely experience. So clearly, that's all behind me. I am making progress. And this is what the mind does. The mind will say, well, you made progress. Oh, great, you've done that. When you're making progress, therefore you can look, you can see a sort of path, a way forward. And then you create these expectations. It's going to be like this. Or at least it's not going to be like that. It's going to be like this. And you set yourself up. And it's the mind. It's just the deluded mind that's always in the mode of creating, papancha. It always has to be creating. It always has to be creating goals and things that you reach out for. That when you don't get what you're reaching out for, you become so disappointed with yourself or with other people, with life. What's all this about? You know, if you do that, what's life about? It's because you've you've created an expectation. Life is going to be like this. And when life is not like this, then, let me down. No, you've let yourself down. Life doesn't say it's going to be like this and like that. You're the one who creates. Don't blame anybody else. And over the next 3 weeks, you can create all sorts of scenarios for yourself. All of those of you that are going, which are nearly all of you, that you play that out, you play it out. You, most of you got history, you play the history out, and then you project. And you're going to be, you're setting yourself up. And if you haven't learned already from doing that in the past, that in fact the experience is nothing like what you thought it would be, whether it be positive or negative, that it didn't turn out that way, it turned out in a completely different way. And the lesson that you can learn from that is that you don't project. You do that, it's, as I like to say, you're making mountains out of molehills. There are going to be things that are going to be like this, and don't expect to go there. You could be blissed out for 7 days. It's highly unlikely. And if it is, you are blissed out for 7 days, so what? What's that? You want insight, you don't want bliss. You do that, and you will see that when you don't get what you want, when you don't get you want, you become disappointed, and you learn sooner or later not to project, not to. You're creating things. You're setting yourself up to knock yourself down. That's what the mind does all the time. It's setting you up here and there, and you go like this, and then it opens up a whole world then of whatever. The mind that comes from experience, because you learned that's all dukkha. The mind that you have is that you go with no thoughts, no expectations, not good, not bad. You go with an empty mind. You go with a new mind. With a Buddha mind. What is it? Zen mind, beginner's mind. That's the mind you go with. You go with a beginner's mind, and a beginner's mind is empty. Beginner's mind doesn't have anything in it at all. So it has no expectations. It can never be disappointed. But what it can be open and fresh, and whatever comes to it is just the way it is. Sometimes it's like this, and sometimes it's like that. So you never get carried away one way, or you don't go the other way, where you just get so ground into the dust that you think, what on earth am I doing this for after all these years? Here I am, floundering after all these years. If you've got a beginner's mind, you won't even go there. You won't go, it's the way it is. And you realise that life is not something that goes in a straight line, that's predictable, that you know how it's going to be. But somehow we always want to be in control. We always want to take life, and life is going to be like this. When you're doing that, you're doing it to make yourself feel secure. You're making it so that you feel safe. Life is going to be like this. Oh, I'm all right. It's going to be like this. And so we create all of these scenarios in our heads that have no reality whatsoever. It's all projection. It's all creation. None of it's real in any way, shape, or form. But we make it real, and then, because it is a projection, it's created by a deluded mind. It doesn't work out that way, and then we react to it. Then we suffer. And the mind you want is a mind that's like a baby that has no expectations. That beginner's mind. You learn that from experience, and this whole notion of progressing, of becoming, going, you can't help it. You don't have to make a problem of that. But what you need to do is to wake up to that and see, well, see more and more that this is how suffering is created. There is no suffering outside of that mind of yours that creates. And if you have that mind, that, that, has termed that beginner's mind. You're here now. You're here in the present. You're not a zombie. You're here and you're very alive. And you're very open and you're just here experiencing life as you're supposed to experience it. And that's it. You're at home. You're where your feet are. And you're not in the past and you're not in the future. And you're not creating dukkha. Dukkha is created when you dwell in the past and when you dwell in the future. And you create. And it's mind created. And it has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with the here and now, where you are. You come here and you're free. So you can go into an environment like that. This doesn't make you a zombie because you have to think of the clothes you're taking and the transport and the timing and all of these things. I don't think you become some mindless zombie. You have a mind that functions when you want it to function. Something practical, something intelligent that you pick up and you use when you need to use it so that you function as a human being, not like an animal that can't do these things. So don't misunderstand that. But there's a difference between doing that and creating scenarios that then you become attached to, that you then create things out of. That's different. That's living in the future, creating stuff in the future, where you set yourself up for suffering. And you have a golden opportunity now. You've got 3 weeks. Just not to go there. If you find the mind will want to go there. The mind will want to go there, and you'll have thinking about what happened last year. When you see it coming, just say, no, I'm not going there. I don't know what's going to happen. When I get there, I'm just going to go into the place and enjoy meeting people, enjoy the environment because it's so lovely. And then when we come to sit, when you sit on the cushion, you've got no expectations. You sit that one period. And you don't go in there, it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. You sit there and you don't know. Be like a baby, you don't know. And see what happens. Because the more attached you get, the more these expectations you get, the more it's going to be like this. This is what I'm expecting. I can tell you, you're making it. If it's dukkha, if it's an unpleasant thing, you're going to make it so much worse. It's so mixed up with so many emotions, and it's all me, me, me all the time. You're there looking after me. How am I going to get through this? This is what we do. This is how we create samsara. How you create your suffering, and you can't ever blame anybody else in your life. You have to take responsibility for that. And learn to wake up to it. And this is what we do when we become still. You learn to wake up to this mind that's always creating, that we're always buying into, that we're always following, that takes us and drags us. And then we create these things. Create this dream world that has nothing to do with where your feet are at this moment. But the more you can come back to where your feet are, you're free. This is free. You want awakening, your enlightenment, whatever you want to call it. It's just where your feet are now. You're not going into any special place. You're actually just waking up to where you've never left in the first place. But you've lost, you're in a dream. You're asleep. And all you do is waking up. And when you wake up, you're free of all of these things that have been a burden all your life, that you've carried around all of your life, that have diminished your life, that have turned you into a frightened being that you feel that you must spend every moment of your day protecting, shoring up, looking after yourself, fending off the big bad world, and seeing what you're doing is that you're turning yourself from something that's infinite, that has no barriers, that is beyond all imagination. You're turning that, who you really are, into this frightened little thing because you're creating all the time. and you're reacting to what you're creating, so you end up putting yourself in, like in a prison, and then you wonder why life is the way it is, the way it's unsatisfactory, the way life is rubbish, that I'm not fulfilled, life is slipping me by, and here I am like a little frightened creature. The reason why is because of this. And you can create something around Trigonos now in 3 weeks' time. You can turn it into a prison. Now, you can turn it into a prison over the next 3 weeks. You're going to go there full of... it's going to be like this. My legs are going to hurt. And all the rest of it, whatever it is that you experience. Or you can go with just go with, like a child. A child doesn't look at a child when it plays. It doesn't have any. It's just in the wonder of the moment. It has no limitations. It has no sense of self-consciousness. It has no sense of looking after itself. It just plays. It plays and it enjoys. And that's what we should be doing. We should be playing and enjoying. And that's our fulfillment. We should be like children. Not in the sense that we don't know anything, but in the sense that we're free, that we're not caught by the conditioning that we create for ourselves and the prison that we put ourselves into. And you've got an opportunity now that when this comes up, as it will, I would imagine, certainly over the next, as it gets closer, and when you see yourself going there with that, just say, no, I'm not going there. Nope. Because you don't know. It's all speculation. And whether you're thinking in a positive way, you know, you're not certainly go there, you know, willing to give yourself and to be as open and as positive as you can to the experience. But I don't mean go there by creating all sorts of scenarios. It's going to be like this. I'm going to get this insight. I'm going to be blissed out, or that sort of stuff there. I mean, not to certainly go with a positive mind. And a positive mind is an empty mind, actually. That's for you to... It's something for you to just be aware of now. But like I said at the beginning of this, although I'm using Trigonos as an example, our seven-day retreat as an example of how the mind works and how we create burdens for ourselves and how we diminish ourselves. Using that as an example, but of course it's not just Trigonos I'm talking about here. I'm talking about everything in your life. Don't isolate this and put it in a box. Use this as a metaphor for everything in your life. Your daily experiences, your coming and going, your relationships, your just your daily existence, your mundane existence. And see how continually you project, how you're always creating. I don't mean that you're not using your intelligence. Your intelligence is not caught up in that. We pollute that. Intelligence is what separates us from the animals, and we can do things and prosper, materially prosper. But we put another layer on top of that, and when you look at that, it's this me thing, me. And these thoughts and the pictures that you create has always got me in there. They're never empty and neutral things. It's always coming from that place of me, of the self looking there. And the self is creating. And it's doing that so that it's reinforcing its I exist, I exist, I exist, I exist. It's doing that, but it's also just preparing itself, even if it's creating something unpleasant, somehow there's a sense of security around that you know what's going to happen. I must know what's going to happen. I can't do this without knowing what's going to happen. I cannot go in there with a free, empty mind, not knowing if it's going to be like this and not if it's going to be like that. Self can't do that. The self wants to know and it wants to hold on to. And when you hold on to, you create mountains. You create things, because invariably things don't work out that way. But it's always this holding on, it's always this showing yourself up. Just watch yourself. See yourself go there over these couple of weeks. and try and go. It's just letting go of everything. You know what to do. Get in your car. Everything on a physical level, material level, is all set up. Just go. But somehow there's something else that wants a piece of the action, and it doesn't want just the spontaneity of life. It's unfolding moment by moment. This great mystery that's just with us all the time. That's not good enough. He wants to possess it. It has to possess it, because if it doesn't possess it, it doesn't exist. And if it gets a sense of it's not existing, it gets very, very frightened. And it has to create and hold on. I exist, I'm here. Even if it's a bad scenario, as long as it's got that sense of in charge, being there, and get a sense of... And how often can you do these things in your life? Do you always want to know everything that you do, that it's all neatly laid out, that your life is mapped out day by day, hour by hour? Or can you just get up in the morning and say, well, I don't know what's going to get. All I know is I'm going to have my breakfast in a few minutes, and then I'm going. Maybe I've got this to do and that to do, but I don't know how it's. I'm not going to sit here nailing the thing down, nailing it down, so I feel I'm in control. That's what it is. But there's another part of you that's actually, it doesn't have that desire, it doesn't have that anxiety, it doesn't have that insecurity where it has to control life. I have to control it. But actually has a sense of adventure that is happy just to, I don't know what's going to happen, I'm just going to do it. And it will be what it will be. And have that sense of adventure, stepping into the unknown, of where you're not in control. That's not being irresponsible. Don't misunderstand that. But it's a spirit, it's an attitude. Where you're living in something that you're never ever going to control, however desperately you try to. You will never control life, ever. It will do what it will do. Now you can go with that and go enjoy the ride and embrace it and experience it, or you can go into a mode of fear where you feel like you have to be in control and life is going to be the way I want it to be. You do that, you become this thing of fear, and you will never win. You cannot win. You can't take this on. What ego is that thinks that it can control? But that's what we do. This is the self, and this is what we have to get to know and understand what it's about, and see that thing is our own creation. We create it, and there is a way beyond. There is a way of letting go of all of that. It's not a hopeless case. There is a way of going beyond that, but we have to get to know it and see it and put into place what needs to be put into place, so we're not always feeding it all the time. And one of those very clear, obvious understandings of how this works is this projecting thing. This thing is going to be like this, like I'm saying, giving you that example of Trigonos. Don't go there. You don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen when you get on the cushion Saturday night, and then Sunday you're going to be sat there all day. You don't know. Go with an empty mind. Go with a sense of adventure, a sense of unknowing, an openness. That when you experience what you experience, it will come and it will go. You won't be disappointed. It won't be, oh, it should be like this, it should be like that. And then you create a problem around it. It will be what it will be, and it will come, and you will experience it, and then you let it go, and then it can move on and change into something else. But we can't do that. There's a part of us that won't do that. That's what we have to wake up to. And that goes for the whole of your life. This is only an example. This is a very clear thing that you can now look at for the next few weeks. Look at it very clearly. Watch your mind. When your mind goes to Trigonos, and see what it starts to do, other than the practical things. When it starts to look at it and see what, how you're building yourself up and creating something. When you see it, say, no, I'm going to go like a baby. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to go there. Don't know. Incense stick to incense stick. That's what you do. One period to the next. Not have one period where you're having a lot of difficulty. Think, oh my God, it's like this now. The next period is going to be even worse. Then it's going to get worse again. Then it's getting even. Oh my God, I'm going to. Oh, what's going to happen to me? Oh, this is nice and peaceful. My mind is getting so quiet. Oh, I look forward to the next sitting. The next sit, that will get even more quiet, and then I'll get blissed out, and then I'll be able to, all this insight will come, and then you watch your mind how it will do that. See if you can go from one period to the next without taking the last period with you, or even taking the next period with you. Bringing that note, the next one's going to be like this one's like this, that one's. So you're taking the next period with you, you're grabbing that one. You see, and how you you create somebody, something that wants to hold it, that wants to feel safe. Say, no, I don't know. I don't know good or bad. There's no such thing as this thing about bad meditation. That's rubbish. No such thing as bad meditation. There is meditation. It can be pleasant or unpleasant. It can be blissful or it can be suffering. That's just stating the fact. But talking about good and bad, you're setting yourself up. You're cutting yourself into pieces. Don't go there. Each period is neither good nor bad. It is what it is. And you give yourself 100% and you go with an open mind and you don't project and you don't create. And you see the difference that will make to you over 7 days. This self-identity all the time and this wanting to hold on all the time. It's like when you sit, you know, it's one of the lessons I hope you learn when you learn to cross your legs and you get the inevitable pain that you will get in your legs. And how this can go on for years and go on for weeks, months. And how, well, hopefully you will learn that the less you identify with that experience, my leg, my pain, what's going to happen to me? How am I going to survive until the end of this period? I'm never going to last the day with it. My poor leg, my poor knees, my poor this and my poor that. You see how you do that, and that's what you do because that's what you've done all your life. But you learn to let go of that and just stay with the experience. So it is what it is. It's not my pain. It's not even my knee, actually. It's there, whatever it is. I'm not going to buy into it. It's not good, it's not bad. I'm going to bring myself to my meditation and not be distracted by it. And even though you still got that discomfort, how much lighter that is. I hope that you come to that and you see that, because you don't identify with the experience. My leg, my this and my that. When you don't do that, something leaves you, this burden of me that just creates the burden. And it is what it is. It doesn't turn into something pleasant, but it's nowhere near the monster that it has been, that it will be if you just stay holding on to it. It is what it is, and you'll be surprised what happens to things like that, those experiences. It's because you're not holding on to them and you're not identifying with them. And that's what you do with the retreat, with everything. You don't identify. When you identify, you become attached and you create problems. You make yourself suffer. This is where suffering comes from. And if you can end up going to Trigonos with that empty mind and you go from period to period and enjoy the ride. Enjoy the experiences if it is enjoyable. And if it isn't enjoyable, well, that's the way it is. Life isn't always going to be enjoyable. Life will never always be enjoyable. It's never going to be the way that you want it to be. It's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. This is the way it works. This is it. Whether you like it or not. and just go with it. And if you can go with it and take that me thing away from it, because that me thing is like a limpet that attaches. It's not me that's actually doing the experience. There is another part of you that's not a part of that me that we can find. That part of you that's free, that doesn't attach, that has no self-identity at all, that doesn't dwell upon me and my life and my experiences, but just goes with what is, that's open and free, that doesn't attach. You'll see what happens to your suffering. You see what happens to your suffering. That's called liberation. And that's what this training is about. This is why you come here, because you experience dukkha and you want to know why you want to get rid of it. Well, there's the reason why you suffer. And what we do is that we learn not to go there anymore. We just learn to say, no, I'm not doing that. This is not my leg. This is not my pain. This is not even my body. And I don't own this body, and this body doesn't own me. And that's a revolution, because that's exactly how we feel. And then we become a prisoner of it. And we know that it's changing all the time, and we know that one day it's going to fall to bits on us, whatever you do. But we can't let go. We hold on to it. It's like a drowning man holding on to something. As you begin, just grab hold of anything so that you can keep your head above water. But ultimately, you don't own anything, actually. So why not own anything at the beginning, rather than grab hold of things all of your life that actually will never hold your head above water, because you always want to be grabbing the next thing as you sink, and then you grab another thing and another thing. Why not learn not to let yourself sink and see what happens? See if you do drown. See what happens. And then you don't get sucked in by all this stuff that you all of your life that you're running your whole life, and you just stop and just be here, and not buy into all of that. And you have this opportunity now, because what we're going to do in 3 weeks' time is not a small thing, and I'm sure most of you realise that by now. You know, we're not going in, we're not sort of creating any sort of, I don't know, spaceship or some great bit of technology, some physical thing that we're not making anything. We're just going there and we're just sitting on our backsides, and basically we're not doing anything. But what you're doing is the most profound thing that you could ever do. And in the material world, and in the normal world, what are you talking about? What are you achieving? What are you doing? You're not making it. You're not making anything. You're not making money. You're not making something that's useful. As our normal everyday mind, those are the values. We're finding another part of ourselves, or using another part of ourselves. So let's all of that go. So in fact, we're not doing anything. We're not achieving anything. We're letting go of all sense of achieving, of becoming something. And we're just learning to sit and be still, which from a worldly perspective is an absolute unbelievable waste of time. Go out and do something useful with your life. But from a spiritual point of view, it's where you become free, it's where you learn, it's where you go about beyond this world of suffering that we create. And it's the most profound thing that you can do. You can free yourself. And then that sense of freedom then can be something for other people also. So it's not a small thing by any means, even though in a material sense it doesn't even get off the ground. But what we're doing is something so valuable for ourselves and for other people. And see the value of that. Don't see that it's something valueless. As I say, in a worldly sense, it is valueless. It's useless. But actually its value is far greater than anything that you create in the world, actually. And take the opportunity and learn to work your way in down that path of understanding. See what you're doing to yourself and learn to let go and not hold on to things. And see your mind all the time. It doesn't stop. All the time it's projecting, it's creating, blah, 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 blah. So no, I'm not buying into you, I'm not following you, I'm just going to stay here. And when you find that you're creating these worlds that you're going to become attached to, that you're going to attach into the self-identity, it's going to bring you dukkha. When you see you're going, just say no. There's a part of you now that's beginning to wake up. It wasn't awake before. Part of you that sees the value of not following, of not projecting, saying, no, 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 I'm just going to be here, whatever's in front of me, drinking my cup of tea, just whatever, simple everyday activities. This is where I am, this is what I'm doing, just bring yourself back. And if you can do that, you'll be free. But you have this opportunity now, and using this, I say, as a metaphor, but this is for everything in your life. So I don't think I'm just talking about Tregonos. It's everything, including the sit today and when you go home tonight and your life. It applies to everything. But this Tregonos thing is a very good target. It's something very clear for you, because it's a big event in our lives to go and sit down on the ground for 7 days and not do anything is a very, very big event in your life. It's a massive, massive event to pull that off and do it. So with that in mind, prepare yourself for that event, prepare yourself for that experience, which you don't know about. It's a mystery, you don't know. Go for the ride. Go with an empty mind, without any expectations of good or bad, right or wrong. And you will see, I promise you, that you will go through those 7 days. You will cruise through those days because you don't have any expectations. You're not thinking about Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3, is it 4, what day is it today? How many of you count the days and the hours? How many more hours to do today? You do that, you suffer. You're creating suffering for yourself when you do that. There's a habit there. Oh, it's Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And you count the days. And then there you are. You're creating samsara for yourself. I promise you. Because you don't need to do that. Because there's nothing for you to do. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to cook, clean. Nothing. There's no routine for us. Nothing. So we've got no excuse. Oh, it's my day to clean today. Therefore, I must know it's Tuesday or Wednesday. You don't even have to do that. We do nothing. So don't make that as an excuse. You don't have to think what day of the week is. But when you do, you see, here you are, look, this is samsara. Look, this is what I'm doing. I'm counting the days till I go home. And I'm counting the hours till I go to bed. And counting the periods, sitting periods. When you start doing that, when you do see, look, there you are, look, there's samsara, that's why I'm suffering. You don't need to go beyond that. That's your habit, that's what you do. You're doing it there in very clear, obviously naked clarity, because you don't have to think about anything whatsoever. So you kind of have that excuse. Just watch it and say, there you are, look. You want to know why you come here in the first place. Why am I suffering? Why is life unsatisfactory? Why is this just not right? Why am I not right? There. When you start thinking, oh, it's Tuesday today, it's Wednesday. There you are. That's why you suffer. You couldn't get anything any clearer. And see how you can't let that go. Oh, well, that's why I suffered. Okay, well, I won't go there anymore. Half an hour later, it's Tuesday today. Tuesday, Wednesday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, no. What time is it? Habits. They're habits. Even when you see them, you can't chase them away. But you can know them. You may not chase them away, but you say, there you are. Don't make a problem. Don't start beating yourself up. Say, look at my little stupid idiot. I'm still doing this, even though I know I'm making myself up. I'm still doing... Don't go there. Don't start beating yourself up. You must be very, very careful. And then you end up hating yourself because you see yourself as a complete idiot and moron, and you're never going to be free. Don't ever go there. Because you will. Because that's also part of your habit. No. This is the way I am. And I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best to let go of these things. It's a very, very long job. This is not a short haul, this is a long haul. And I'm doing my best, and I don't need to beat myself up. What I need to do is to wake up and see. Just see and observe. Observe. It's not good, it's not bad. When you're good and bad, you cut yourself up, then you create conflict, then you end up hating yourself. It's not good, it's not bad. See the habit, observe it with that clarity. Just observe it like you're watching a film. Observe it. That's what you do. That's all you've got to do. And then the next time it comes, maybe you can just say no. Well, if you can't say no, then do it again. But observe and say, look, I've done it again. Okay, that's all right. Don't make a problem. Don't start saying you're no good. That's a big one. That is a big one. I can't do this. Well, I can't do it, actually. That's true. I can't do it. How true is that? But you don't go there because you're just fueling the self-view, which doesn't care whether it likes itself or whether it hates itself, as long as it feels alive. It's not a case of like and dislike. It's neither here nor there. Just observe with a clarity of mind. That part of you that doesn't have an opinion, that part of you that's not caught, that's not part of this thing that you're making, that you're caught, but as a part of you can see. That's how it works, is it? Okay. Just plant those seeds, and in time you can just learn to say no. Say, ah, no, I'm going there. No. Not doing that one anymore. It's okay, you just let it go. You don't go, go away. Bloody rubbish. No, you don't do that. Just say no. Don't do that one anymore. Plenty of other ones I'm caught by, but no. And that's fine. Peacefully let go. Peacefully. And when it's peaceful, it doesn't have an opinion. If you have an opinion, you're in trouble. Just peacefully let it go. But in the meantime, see it. Oh, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday. And see. And then you may see the dukkha that you're making for yourself, because suddenly Wednesday seems to be further away than it was until you, when it was Monday and you never thought about Wednesday. Suddenly there's this thing called Wednesday, and it is a thing called Wednesday, because there's no such thing as Wednesday, actually. No such thing as tomorrow. There's Wednesday, and suddenly Wednesday starts to recede. Shit, when's that Wednesday going to come? Here I am, it's still Monday. Is it still Monday? You're joking. Well, actually, there's no such thing as Monday or Wednesday, but by golly, you've made a Monday and you've made a Wednesday and you put a gulf between them. It's like about 6 weeks. And you bash yourself all over the place. You're making it. There you are, there's your world, there's your samsara. Me, here I am, me, and I want to be there, I want me to be there. Because when I'm there, I'm nearly out the door. Huh? You see that? See, that's dukkha, that's samsara. That's why you suffer. And when you see it, the part of you that's waking up, when you learn, this is the value of stillness, the profundity of stillness, is that there's a part of you that's permanently there, that when you're still sees things with clarity, it's always there, it's never lost, even though you cover it over. When you become still, it begins to shine through more and more. That's not samsara. That's nothing to do with you at all. But it has a clarity and has a wisdom that you can't even imagine. And it's... this is why. This is what all this suffering nonsense is about. Or not nonsense, but this is what this predicament is about. That's what sitting on your backside will give you. That stillness. This is why stillness is number one. Because it gives you that clarity, that observer. And that observer doesn't have an opinion. That's not... Opinions belong to the world, to your dualistic world. He doesn't go there. No, right or wrong, good or bad. It's something that sits there. It's actually there for all eternity, actually. It doesn't even die. All this nonsense dies. But there's a part of you that doesn't die. It's there forever. It has nothing to do with space and time. But you never see it. You're never in contact. But now you're beginning to make contact. This is what this is about. And you allow that to shine through more and more. And the more it shines through, the more it will not chase. The more it just... And you begin to let go. And the more you let go, the more you begin to see what that is about. And reality, which is obscured, the truth, your enlightenment, that will break it asunder. So just use this as a really, really fantastic example. 3 weeks, just bring this to mind over and watch yourself. Watch that mind. And don't beat yourself up, but watch it. Watch what you create. See it. Just see, there you are. This is why I suffer. And hopefully you can take that clear mind with you. And when you're there, you keep that clear mind day after day. You wouldn't know whether it's a Monday or a Thursday. And actually you don't care. All you're doing is you're sitting. Somebody's going to ring the bell, and then sooner or later you'll be in your car and you'll be going home. Blimey, it must be Saturday. You don't need to know these things. You're creating an environment where suffering doesn't exist, and you go with it. And that there, the things that you will learn from that, you then take into your everyday life when you go back. This is the path of freedom. So I've enough for you.